We turn then to that portion of Psalm 119 for our scripture reading tonight. The text is Psalm 119, verse 105. I know that the council members all know the explanation for why the sermon is different than what's announced in the bulletin. I don't know if everyone else knows. You can ask me about that after the service if you care to. We're going to read through verse 120 of Psalm 119, beginning at verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross, therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Thus far we read the word of God, paying attention to verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. David uses here in this text a word picture that is easy for all of us to understand. In David's day, if a man was setting out on foot on a journey, and he had a particular destination in mind that he wanted to reach, and it was nighttime, he would use an oil lamp, perhaps, or a candle that would be covered by a jar, and use that to illumine the pathway for his feet to follow in order to reach the destination that he has in mind. Now, when we think of that picture, we need to understand that David is thinking about a destination that has one pathway that will lead to that destination. So this isn't like when we are going about our daily travels and maybe traveling around Kalamazoo, we have a destination in mind and we can pick any number of ways to reach that destination. What David is picturing for us here is, as I said, a destination with one and only one pathway that leads to that destination. And so the danger of not following that one pathway is not only that all of the other pathways lead actually away from that destination. That's true, and we experience some frustration when we lose our way when we are traveling. It doesn't mean that we're not going to reach the destination, but it frustrates us when we are on the wrong path or the wrong road that it's going to take us longer to reach our destination. So we don't like it when we're on the wrong way and we go away from the destination. But what David is speaking of here is that those other pathways not only lead away from the destination, but in the end, they all lead to destruction. That's the peril, the danger of not being on the pathway of safety to the destination. Now we know that when David speaks this way, he's speaking of in a picture language, but he's not ultimately speaking of an earthly reality or an earthly experience. He's speaking of something spiritual, something that is heavenly in meaning. And what David is speaking of when he speaks of this one pathway that leads to safety is this pathway of salvation, the pathway that leads to the destination heaven. And what we need to see here is that there is one and only one narrow way that leads to heaven. Now this points out the importance of having the lamp. Or today maybe we would talk about a flashlight. Because remember, the picture is not of us walking in a world of light to our destination. The picture is of us walking in a world of darkness. So dark that without the light, you and I would not see the pathway. Therefore, you and I would not find the pathway that leads to the destination of safety in heaven. And therefore, not seeing it, not finding it, you and I could not possibly walk on that pathway. We would be doomed to walk in darkness and then end up in destruction. You and I need a light to guide us. And praise God, the message of David in this text is that God has provided us with the light, a lamp, a flashlight, if you will. And that light is the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There is a light, the Word of God, that shows us so that we can see where the pathway is, so that we can see our way on that pathway, so that we can walk on the pathway of salvation that leads to heaven. Now that leads to many important practical questions. And in the faith congregation, I preached this sermon in preparation for family visitation, so that these are questions that we ought to face as we hear this sermon preached tonight, but these are questions that the elders could be asking. I understand that your elders soon, not necessarily using this passage, but another passage, will be visiting your homes. And even with another passage, they can ask questions like this. Are you on the pathway of safety that leads to heaven? How are you living and walking? And then the second question that's related to that is, are you using the Word of God as your light and your guide for your life? And you understand the importance of that question. If the answer is no, not using the Word of God in the way that I direct my path of life, then that means that you are not on the pathway of safety that leads to heaven, but you are lost in darkness. And that means then that the calling, obviously the calling before us tonight, is to use the light, to follow the light, and to walk upon the pathway that God has shined for our feet. So let's consider tonight God's Word, our lamp. That is the theme for family visitation in the Faith Protestant Reformed Church as well. And there are three questions. What is this lamp? The Word of God. Secondly, why has God given us this lamp, His Word? And then thirdly, for whom or to whom has God given His Word as the lamp and the light? First of all, what? Thy Word is the Word of God that is our lamp. It is the Word that proceeds out of God's own mouth. God speaks this word. God breathes forth this word. And it's the Word of God from God about God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is the Word that reveals to us, sheds light upon who God is. Who is God? What kind of a God is our God? God shines His light threw His Word upon us so that we may see and know Him. 1 John 1 verse 5 tells us that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. So that because God is the God of light and no darkness, His Word is a word of light that tells us, as I said, who He is, tells us about His great being, tells us about His character, His perfections, tells us also His will, and that's going to be important for us to see tonight. God, through His speech to us, says, "This is my will for you, for how I want you to live, what I don't want you to do, what I do want you to do." God sheds light upon His will for us through His Word. Now, the beauty of this is that if we think of it this way, when we are using the light of the Word of God to be our guide, we're following that Word, it's not merely words on a page that we are following, but when we follow the Word of God, we're following God Himself. And when I was making the sermon, I couldn't help but think of the children of Israel in the wilderness at night in that dangerous, waste, hollowing wilderness. And they were led by the pillar of fire so that they could see the pathway. That was important, but so that the people could know this. The one who is leading us in this wilderness where there are dangers all around is God Himself. Can you imagine the safety that Moses must have felt? And all of the people of Israel, how can we know that this pathway is not going to lead us off a cliff? How can we know that this pathway isn't going to lead us into an enemy or to some wild beast that will destroy us? How do we know that on this pathway we are safe? And what a comfort to be able to say, well, the one who guides us is not merely Moses. But when we look at that pillar of fire, we're looking to God Himself as the one who's with us, blazing the trail through the wilderness. And maybe you think, as you are traveling on your own life's pathway, that would be wonderful for me to be able to say this. I'm not merely following a word on a page, I'm actually following my God. Well, I think David understood when he said here, that God's Word is His lamp, that was the reality for him. You could even say that it was more of a reality for David than Moses and the people of Israel in the wilderness. Yes, they had that revelation of God in that pillar of fire. But I think David understood at this time that the clearest revelation of God is His written Word. And even though he didn't have the entire Old Testament scriptures, he had the law of Moses, he had other portions of the written Word of God. And David is saying, when I follow this Word that comes from God's mouth, I in my life am following God Himself. And what a wonderful thing that you and I as New Testament Christians can say, that's what we have here now, the completed revelation of the Word of God. And when we take this up and say, now this is going to be our guide, it's God Himself who's blazing the trail. You think of all the pitfalls, all the dangers, all the enemies that we face in this world. Who is the one who says, now this is the way? And He doesn't simply point, there's the way, now go that way. But He actually blazes the trail. He goes before us and we can say, as we follow this Word, we're following God Himself on our life's pathway. Now, when we follow God, we're following Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the eternal Word of God, and He is declared by the Bible to be the light of the world. And even in the Old Testament, though Jesus Christ hadn't come, whatever revelation God sent of Himself by means of dreams or visions, by means of the prophets who spoke verbally, by means of prophets like David who wrote the Word of God, that was the Spirit of Jesus Christ illuminating them in the Old Testament to show God to the people of the Old Testament, to show who He is and to show them His will in the way that He would have them to live. And now, again, As the people who have the entire New Testament scriptures, Jesus Christ has come. He is the one that God sent into the world to be the light, to die on the cross, to pay for our sins, to conquer that darkness of our sin and guilt. He also caused Him to rise again from the dead with victory and life. And it's through His Spirit that Jesus Christ shines in us by the gospel so that we know salvation from God through Jesus Christ. And the one we follow then is not merely the triune God, but when we are following the Word of God, we're following our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's really the one who blazes the trail, isn't He? The one who came into this world of our existence and went through this world, through sin, or through death, and through the resurrection, and through the ascension into heaven. And He's the one who's leading you and me now to heaven. The disciples of Jesus Christ, then, who are on the pathway to safety in heaven, are those who believe in Jesus Christ and follow Him. That's the message of David here. That's the one pathway of safety. That's the one pathway to the destination of heaven. Anyone who says that they don't believe in God or in Jesus Christ, here's the atheist. Any atheist who rejects God and Jesus Christ is not on the pathway. And if they remain impenitently in their unbelief, they will end up in destruction. But this is true for those who are in other religions, who believe in other gods, who do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, but in some other Savior that they have imagined. They are not following the light. They are not on the pathway. They are in darkness, and that way they will be destroyed. That God's Word is the lamp, and that Jesus is the revelation of God's light means only those who believe and follow Jesus are on the path to heaven. Thy Word, God's the one who speaks this Word through Jesus Christ. But, as I have been indicating already in the sermon, David is referring here specifically to the written Word of God that reveals salvation through Jesus Christ. And in particular, David is speaking of the law of God that sheds light upon our pathway. Perhaps even the children know that Psalm 119 is this great psalm of David about God's law. And there are many words that David uses to refer to God's law throughout the psalm. Thy Word. But then even in this section, you see that David is not just speaking about the Word of God generally, but Thy law, Thy precepts, Thy commandments, Thy judgments, Thy testimonies. In the text, David is speaking of the pathway as a figure or picture of the course of life that we are to live. This is the way that we are to follow in our daily life. And God sets that before us in His law. Here are the things that are approved by Me. These are the things that you may do. That's the way to go. And in His law, God says, and there are the things I don't approve of. Those are the things I forbid. Don't do those things. And the implication is that without the law of God, we do not know the difference between right and wrong, and no one else does either. The question for you and me tonight is, where do you go to find how you are to live, how you are to behave? Where do you go to determine what is right and what is wrong from a moral perspective? And the attitude of the sinful people of the world is, or the answer of the sinful people of the world is, not the Bible. They look at the Bible and say, you claim that's the Word of God? We deny that. That doesn't look like the Word of God. You claim that this Word is true. You claim that this Word is clear. You claim that this Word is without any error. When we look at the Bible, we think of that as a man-made Word. We find all kinds of contradictions and errors in the Bible. The Bible isn't reliable. The Bible isn't faithful. The Bible isn't true. But we as believers see the folly of that, don't we? I want to make that clear to you tonight. Thinking of it this way. We say to those who have that attitude towards the Bible in the world, and sometimes sadly in the church too, that the Bible's full of contradictions, it's not inerrant or infallible, it can't be the reliable Word of God. We say to them, all right then, if you're not going to take the Bible as your lamp to guide you in your life, to determine the difference between right and wrong, what is going to be your standard? And you know, it really doesn't make a difference what a man or a woman or a young person gives as their answer. We can see as Christians right away how foolish their answer is. You're not going to take the Word of God as the standard of truth? Then what? CNN? Fox News? The newspapers of the world? The New York Times? The Washington Post? Or the internet, Google, the people who make posts on social media. And even if you say, no, I'm much more sophisticated than that, I'm going to use the learned people of the world, the scholars, the PhDs, the scientists, they're the ones that I'm going to use as my reliable guide to tell me now, this is not true, and this is true, and this is the right way to behave, and that's the wrong way to behave. As Christians, we look back on all of that and we see, there's no light anywhere in the world. All of that is darkness and lies and deceit. What do we find in the world today? Isn't it interesting that for several years now, the people of the world have been talking about fake news? And that's what all that is. Everything that man has to say when he determines for himself without consulting God in His Word is fake, it's false, it's unreliable, it is a lie. The confession of David and of every believer is that the only standard of truth that is reliable, that is faithful, that actually shows us the difference between darkness and light, right and wrong, is the Word of God. The perspective of David then obviously is that what we have here in the Bible is the Word of God and the Word of God alone. This is not a mixture of God's Word and the Word of man. There is not in the Bible the reliable Word of God and then the unreliable Word of man. This is all the Word of God. There are no errors, no inconsistencies. It is true and reliable. David's attitude is this. And this is the attitude of every believer too. When God says, no, that's not right. That is evil. The believer says, that's what I embrace and accept as true. And then when God says in His Word, yes, this is righteous, this is good, this is pure, this is holy, the believer says, that's what I'm going to embrace in my life as true and holy, and I'm going to follow that. This Word is all God's Word. It's true. It's reliable. And then this too is important. When David says God's Word is the light, it's clear. Clear for David, the prophet. Clear for the New Testament preacher and elder and deacon. But for the New Testament women who believe, for the New Testament young people, and for the New Testament children in the church. The Word of God isn't a light only for some members of the church that they have to follow, pointing out this is the way of life for you. But God, through Jesus Christ in His Word, has set out the way for each one of us. And that's the confidence that we have to have. This Word is not obscure. This Word is clear. We can take up the Bible, we can read it, we can hear sermons preached about the Bible or based on the Bible, and we can say, God is clearly lightening my path and showing me the way to go. Isn't that the idea of a light? When it's dark outside, and you want to know the way to go, you turn a light on, it shows you the path. Or, and I'm going to use this figure a little bit more in a moment, isn't that your experience when you are driving in your car? When the headlights are on at nighttime, you don't say, you know, it's questionable where I need to point the car. It's questionable where the road is. But the light shines clearly before you the pathway that you have to follow. That's the confidence we have in the Word of God. When we read it, when we study it, God makes His way known to us. The way of safety, the way of obedience to His will, the way that leads to heaven. And that leads us to the important practical question. We know what the light is. It's God's Word. The written testimony of God in His Scriptures, the Bible. But now, let's face the important practical question. Why has God given us the Bible? And I'm going to give two basic answers, so basic that you might be thinking, this should be known and this should be assumed. And yet, the reality is that we can overlook this so easily practically in our lives that we need to be reminded of this. Why does God give us His Word as a light? First of all, to use it. To use it. Let me go back to that illustration of the car with the headlights. Some of you have gone through the process of learning to drive or of teaching someone else to drive a car. And it's important to learn not only how to drive during the day, but also at night. And this might sound a bit silly, and in fact, I even intend it to sound a bit silly, but imagine that you teach a young man or a young woman to drive at night, and let's pretend that the car does not have automatic lights. But as in the old days, one had to actually switch the lights on when it became dark. Now imagine you teach them now when you're driving at night, you need to turn this switch and turn your headlights on. And after you've gone through that, when the student driver starts to drive on his own or her own, you find out that he or she is driving at night without the lights on. Now, inside the city limits, that might not be so serious. If you're like me, you've maybe even had the experience that in the city there's so much light that you forget sometimes to turn the headlights on. But now imagine that you're outside of the city. That's easy for me to imagine coming from northwest Iowa out in the country where the roads are dark, where there are ditches on each side of the road, where there is great danger. And if the parents would find out you haven't been turning the headlights on, the parents would become very angry and maybe even forbid that child to drive at night until they promise they will use the light. I think that makes plain the point that I'm making, but we can also imagine, and maybe this is more to the point of what David is thinking, standing in a forest. We have a destination that we want to reach, but the forest is pitch dark. And there is, in that forest, great danger all around. And you're told, now there's a pathway before you that will lead you away from all the danger to your destination safely. You're not going to be able to follow that pathway without a light, but here's a light that clearly shines the way to the pathway so you won't fall over a cliff or in quicksand. You won't be attacked by a lion or any other enemy. Follow the light and you will be safe. And of course, you would be foolish to shut the light off and put it down and walk on your own in the dark. How often are we not that foolish when it comes to the Word of God as our spiritual light and guide? David is teaching you and me to make the humble confession that we can't live a moment, any day, without the guidance of God's Word. He's saying you have to make this humble confession that you really don't know what to do. You don't know how to live. David is saying, I don't know how to behave as king without the guidance of God's word. I don't know how to behave as a husband in Israel. I don't know how to behave as a father to my children in Israel. I don't know how to do anything in my life without the word of God. And then, yet I ask you, how often isn't it the case that we do shut the light off? We leave it in the drawer. We leave it on a shelf. We don't use the light of God's word. David is saying, not only is this world a dark and dangerous place, but we by nature are dark. The light of God did shine on Adam and Eve in the beginning as they were created so that they didn't need the written word of God. God's light shined in their hearts and their minds so that they knew as they were created how to walk with God and how to walk in a way that avoided sin and disobedience to God. But then Adam and Eve both looked at the fruit and ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They disobeyed God. They willingly chose the path of disobedience, alliance with Satan, enmity with God, and through their sin, sin and death and darkness has fallen upon all men, including us. So that we have to make this humble confession. I cannot see the way that God would have me go. I cannot see the path of safety. I cannot see the path of obedience to the will of God on my own. In fact, what ought to live in our hearts and minds is not only that we cannot see that path, but on our own, we don't want to. We are so darkened in sin by nature that if God said, here's the path, now you can choose whether or not to walk on it, we would be foolish enough and are foolish enough to say, I don't want the light. I don't want to walk on the path of safety. I want to go my own way in the darkness. And we would choose destruction. And that has to be our attitude every day. Why will I read the Bible as a father with my family? Because I know that I and my children, not only will we not know how to choose the path of righteousness, we won't. Inevitably, we will choose the path of sin and disobedience unto God. Why will we go to church to hear the Word of God preached every Sunday? Because we have that attitude that if we don't have the Word of God preached to us, we won't know, and we also won't have the power to walk on the way that God sets before us in His Word. Why do we send our children to a Christian school, not a public school? Why do we want our children to go to catechism to learn the Word of God? Because we know that we and our children are by nature dark. We need God's Word. We need the preaching of His Word. We need His grace to know the way and to have the power to walk on the way. And the attitude is, this Word is what guides me in everything, absolutely everything I do. And that's true of the Ten Commandments. How am I going to love and serve God? I need the first table of His law. How am I going to know how to treat my spouse, my parents, my children, the other members of the church? How am I going to know how to love my neighbor? I need the second table of the law. If I don't have the law, I'm only going to live in hatred for God and in hatred for the neighbor. I need the Ten Commandments. But in all of life, God's Word is my guide. Now, there are certain things that God does not tell us specifically, this is how you are to live, or this is how you are to behave. I think that perhaps a young person listening to this sermon might think, well, God doesn't tell me in His Word specifically who I am to date or who I am to marry. And yet, isn't the confession of the believing young person, yet the Word of God is my light? The Word of God sets down the principles that I am to follow. The Word of God tells me what kind of a spouse I am to look for. The Word of God tells me what kind of a marriage I am to establish, namely one in which we are one in the faith. And then as a believer, you might be thinking, well, when it comes to my money, the Word of God doesn't tell me, now this is how much of your paycheck to save, this is how much of your paycheck to spend, this is how much of your paycheck to give to the church or to the causes of the kingdom. And yet the believer says, I'm guided by the Word of God when it comes yet to how I use all of my money, because all of it is given to me by God. It's to be used as a steward for His glory. The Word of God is the guide for all my life, marriage, money, and every other area of life as well. And the point is, it's to be read, it's to be studied, it's to be preached every day, following the light in our daily lives. First of all, God has given us His Word as our light to use it, not to sit unread. Secondly, He's given us His Word as a light so that we will perform it, so that we will obey His Word. That is important too. I know that's basic, but the idea here is of a pathway that is set before us, and there's a light shining on it, and God says through David here, very simply, now live this way, walk upon this pathway. That's very practical and a good reminder to us. Why are we here? To hear the preaching of the Word? Just to have our heads filled with knowledge? No, the practical goal and end of this is so that you will be a doer of the Word of God. Why does a father read the Bible to his children? Just because he wants them to have knowledge of what God is pleased with and what He's not pleased with? No, but so that the father can say to the children, now, this is the way to live. These are the sins that you are to flee from and to reject, and here is the way that you are to walk. What it comes down to is this. God doesn't want you simply to know the list of sins that He forbids. But He wants you to be committed to saying this. I know what those sins are, and I'm not going to do them. I'm not going to walk in them. Really, that's the important thing, isn't it, for you and me tonight? You didn't need to come to the worship service tonight to be told that God hates lying and gossiping. You didn't need to come to the worship service tonight to be told that God hates all of the immorality that you find on the television, the internet, in the world. You didn't need to come to church tonight to be told that God hates it when you hold grudges against your neighbor, when you walk with anger against your neighbor, when you refuse to forgive your neighbor. But you do need that knowledge, I won't deny that, but then this, to say, now, I know what God forbids, I'm not going to live that way. And then when we think about what God says is true and right, whatever God says is pure, whatever God says is holy, whatever God says is praiseworthy, again, the purpose of teaching you all of that is not simply so that you'll be able to say, I know these things, but God says, now these are the things to do. Walk down that pathway following the light. And so God has given us His Word and says, this is the light. Use it. Follow it. To whom does God say that? Or for whom has God given His Word as a light? We could answer that question very theologically, couldn't we? Obviously, we know that the Word is a light for the elect. The reprobate are not given by God the ability to see the light. They really aren't. They don't have the work of the Spirit giving them the new life of Jesus Christ. They don't have faith, which is the ability that we need to have in order to have knowledge of God and of His Word and to embrace God and His Word as the truth. Those who are dead in sin cannot and will not see the light. They can read the Word, but it will not do them any good. Now, it is good for us to know that answer so that we will be ever thankful to God for the salvation that He has given unto us. The only explanation for why David can say that the Word of God is his lamp and his light is because of God's grace that has shined in him, enabling him to see the darkness, to see his sin, to see the misery of sin, to enable him to turn from that and to turn to the way of light and salvation through Jesus Christ. But David, and this is much more practical, makes a confession here. And what's important about that is that we see then that this is something you and I each must make our own personal conscious confession. For whom, this is very practical, is the Word of God a light for their life? Those who say, I know God. I know the truth of His Word and His commandments. I see the light and I will walk in the light of His Word and follow and keep His commandments. Beloved, this is a matter of identifying ourselves as pilgrims in this world who are walking in the light. The Word of God shines, a light on the path. And you continue to live in worldliness and sin, then you show that you are not a pilgrim. You are not a disciple of Jesus Christ. You show that the Word of God is not your personal light for your life and that you continue in darkness. The Word of God is the light for those who make this confession and who live it. I have my own unique pathway through life. You have your own unique pathway through life. David had his too. His life was much different from ours. And yet David understood this is common to all of the children of God, that God's commandments are the expression of His will for all of His people and how they are to live. To make this confession means that you are determined not to live according to your feelings. You're determined not to live according to what other people around you tell you to do. It means that you have said, you're saying tonight, and you're going to say in this coming week, I'm going to turn to the Word of God each day. And that Word is what's going to tell me what to do, and I'm going to follow it. When I am in trials and I want to know how to respond to those trials, I'm going to the Word of God to shed light and to give me answers. When I am going through prosperity as well, and I need to know how to deal with all the joys and all of the wealth and the good things that God has given me, I'm going to go to His Word as the light. And in all my temptations, and when there's confusion, when the devil and the world are trying to lead me in many different ways, and I want to know, what am I going to do? I'm going to turn to the Word of God. There is indeed much darkness in this world. And it is important for you and me to avoid all that darkness. And I said this to the congregation at Faith, so I'll say it to you too. When the elders conduct family visitation, it might be profitable for them to spend some time, especially with the young families, and talk about all of the dark things of this world that they need to avoid and to lead their children to reject. But this passage is calling us to see the light, to love the light, to see how beautiful God is and the way of God is, to see how beautiful the commandments of God are, how blessed it is to walk with God. And there's the question that we all should focus on. At my age, as an elderly saint in the church, as a young person, as a child, in my position, as a male or a female in the church, as an office bearer or another member of the church, in my station or calling, in my earthly occupation, what is the pathway of holiness and of service to God and to His kingdom, to His church, and to his people that God is leading me on. My burden tonight is not now to give you many examples of how you can positively walk in the light. The burden upon me is to call you to search the Scriptures and to say, not merely, what am I to avoid, but how does God want me to walk going forward in the light to serve Him today?